All right, we're ready. We're back again. We're back live. Hallelujah. We're live to the nation. Let's go to Mark 16 now again. So we found out that how Jesus got that authority by his death and resurrection. It pleased God, and God raised him from the dead. And now we have that scepter of righteousness pointed at us also if we believe in his name. Mark 16. Very familiar passage for us Pentecostals. It's amazing, though, you get around some fundamentalist church, they try to say that was not in the original Greek, and everything's just to justify why they're not doing the word, basically. And he says here in verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That word gospel, again, good news, or they shared earlier, proclaiming that there's a new rulership. There's a new king. Amen. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That means healed, delivered, protected. Look up that word saved, it's sozo. You know, soteria it comes from the word soteria. Sozo is the Greek word. So if someone asks you how you're doing, you can say, sozo. Not so-so, but sozo, amen. But he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Again, it doesn't happen if you don't believe it. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So it's all these things we're to do in the name. I believe that we should, again, be praying for the sick in the name. Amen? Yes. It's in there. I did a word study on that word recover one time. It really means, to make something right. So we can declare sickness and disease is wrong. And we're laying hands on you, you're going to become right. Amen. Drink any deadly thing. I mean, you could probably take that literally. Hallelujah. Someone tries to poison you. We know that they're taking up serpents. I'm not sure that could be taken literally. It could be talking about spiritual warfare that we're involved with, principalities and powers. The devil's a serpent, isn't he? I got bit by a snake last summer, and I didn't have time to see what kind it was. I just shook it off and said, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. It never swelled up or nothing. I went off and I was fine. But I said, that word's either true or not true. Now, I'm not going to, on purpose, take up a serpent like they do in some of these churches down south. In Tennessee. And some of you know anything about that? Appalachia area. They take snakes and they test God, basically, you know. And I don't believe we're to tempt the Lord. Amen? And I know there was one gospel quartet one time. The guy was saying that they were invited to this church and they were up on the platform and they were singing their songs. And he said, all of a sudden, they brought these boxes out with these snakes. And he looked at his buddy. He says, where's the door? I don't know. He says, where do you want one? But I don't like snakes. How many like snakes? We have a guy in our church, he had them as pets. I don't like snakes. I'm not afraid of them. You know, they shock you when you first see them. But anyhow, we know the Apostle Paul was bitten by a snake. Then he shook it off, went in the fire, and he didn't die. They thought he was a god. He said, not me. I serve Jesus. He preached to him, and he had a little revival in the island. But he did it all again in the name. And you know, it says that they should cast out devils. I believe there's a lot of preachers nowadays don't believe in devils. We psychoanalyze everything. Oh, you just have a mental issue. You have a problem. A lot of it's demonic. And I have to admit, in our nation, people that are pretty much under the control of demonic forces, we have them in our mental hospitals. You ever been in a mental hospital? It's a weird experience. It's a weird experience. I mean, you walk down the hall and these people are looking at you, and you know there's demons in them, you know. And if they want set free, you can set them free. But if they don't want it, then anyhow. But a lot of things we deal with are the mind. You go to foreign nations, you know, there's a lot of, they don't have, they let them live in the streets and stuff. I know in India, for example, there's just a lot of wild looking people come up to us. And, but demons, amen?
Absolutely.
And I've cast out some demons. I remember one couple came to our church and the husband said, "You got to come to my house and pray for my wife. She must have a demon, and she gets really wild and crazy, and she starts screaming. She'll start pulling her hair out, and she'll grab knives and try to kill me." I thought, that sounds like a demon to me. You know, he called me one night, and he says, "Can you come over?" And this is back in the early days when I did more of that. And I went. I should have took some guys with me. Should have took some elders, see if they were really elders or not. Call them at 2 o'clock in the morning, see if you were. But I went there, and man, she was in a mess. And I remember she got in this corner of the house there, and I was there, and I said, "In Jesus' name, come out of here." And she starts screaming and da 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 da. Then she starts in some kind of language I didn't understand. And I found myself speaking in tongues. I don't know what I was saying, but it seemed like it worked. And she was set free. She was set free. Some people are demons, have demons in them. And one time in a worship service, you know, the devil doesn't like worship services. Especially when people are actually worshiping God and God's presence shows up, the devil's not comfortable. And this was back when we were in a firehouse. It was it was really packed. I remember that we were just worshiping God, and all of a sudden I heard this lady screaming, "I'm in this child and I want out. I'm in this child and I want out." So then everybody got quiet. You know, we obliged the devil. We cast the devil out of her. Here, found out later she was being arrested for taking her clothes off naked in 7-Eleven stores in our area. The devil, he tries to make you naked. You know, we see that in the Bible.
Absolutely.
Are you with me?
Yes.
But, you know, I believe there's demonic influences in people's lives. There's different levels, too. You understand? There's oppression, suppression, possession. You know, it's all in the Greek. You can find it. But actually, the word is means demonized, the word oppression. They're demonized. And he'll do that with sickness and disease. He'll do it with mental things. And we need to deal with them. Because we have authority, remember? We're the police and says, "Stop. I declare that unlawful in Jesus' name. You're trespassing. Get off my land. This is my town." Yeah. "This is my nation. This is my state. This is our territory. We're in charge here now." He says, "In my name, we'll do this." And again, Ephesians 6 says that what? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age. There's spiritual forces that we're dealing with that are influencing people to do so. Again, these mass killings that are happening. That's demonic, man. There's no question about it. I mean, it's one thing to kill someone out of rage, and still the devil's behind that too. He'll get you, use your flesh to get you angry enough to kill somebody. Or any of the emotions of the flesh. Yeah. So we need to say no, devil. When I'm in town, we're the law now. Amen. We're the new sheriff in town. How's that? We are. In the name of Jesus, we're to go now and to exercise this authority. Amen. In fact, let's go to Colossians 4:12. Colossians 4:12. There's a guy named Ephorus here in Colossians 4:12. And hallelujah. Colossians 4:12. Ephorus. Paul was given this description about this man. He says, "Ephorus, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Aren't you glad for people who intercede? Yeah, I thank God for people who pray for me. You need to pray for your pastor. Pastor Bill, you keep him in your prayers every day. Thank God that he's healed. That he's going to get total victory over this stuff. Amen? Keep pressure back on the devil. He's trespassing there. He's touching God's anointed. Amen? We need to do that as the congregation. As Pastor Jonathan in my church, he's my pastor. I pray for him every day. I pray that he's filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding and knowledge. He's led of the Spirit. He's full of the Holy Ghost with signs and wonders. We need to pray for this for people. Pray for all those in authority. Amen? Why? So we can live, a quiet and peaceful life. I know it's hard to pray for certain ones that are in authority, but by faith. I also pray, Lord, deliver us from wicked and unreasonable men. Paul prayed that as well. And there's some wicked people in our politics nowadays, and we need to be delivered from them. This nation needs to be delivered from them. He'll say, you're putting your faith in a man. No, God uses men. If you don't believe he uses men, you haven't read your Bible. There's God's men and women that he anoints to carry out his justice, to carry out his system, his will. Amen. His servants. But here was a man named Ephorus. He says that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So thank God for Ephorus in our churches. Amen. But they say a little history about Ephorus. I have it wrote that down. Let me find it here. He was actually an intercessor, again, who prayed in the church. How many believe there's God calls some people to intercede? That's their calling. That's their gift, we might say. It's not actually a gift. There's no gift of intercession, but we all should intercede. But there's some people that's more a natural fit for them and a spiritual fit, we might say. I mean, they can pray for hours and hours and hours. You've been around those folks? Makes you feel guilty, doesn't it? Thank God for them, though. We need prayer. It's a grace. That's the term. It's a grace. And Ephorus was one of them. That word laboring there means to wrestle, to struggle, to combat. You know, I wonder how many people in our congregations would be set free of lust and addictions and sicknesses and diseases, whatever, if we'd have more people praying, combating the enemy. Because some people don't know how to fight the good fight of faith. We can stand in the gap for them. We can intercede for them. You know, there's a verse in Revelation about all the prayers that come before God, and he collects them in vials.
Yes.
I think when we get enough people praying, that's when God does something sometime. This must be serious. And he'll move his hand in that situation. So keep praying for your pastor, Pastor Billy. He'll get total victory. Hallelujah. And I am in contact with Bill and them. I meet with him pretty much once a month if we can, and encourage him, because I've been down that road. I know some had some of the same diagnosis, but God's word does work, and he's fighting. I've not heard anything negative out of the guy. He's a fighter. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Lord, thank you for touching Pastor Bill even this moment today. Strengthen his body. His mind, his spirit, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So like I said, how many today would be set free in our churches? We have a lot of people who are bound up. They come there with all kind of issues, situations, stuff. And we put on a costume when we come to church. We put on our smile. There are people hurting out there. They need deliverance, and we got a name. And until they learn how to use it on themselves, we can pray for them. Amen. Let me give you here three requirements that to be able to pray for deliverance and victory. First of all, you must be a child of God. Amen?
Yes.
Acts 19, let's look at this verse, verse 4. Since I looked them up, we'll look them up. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thanks. Oh, this, we mentioned this last night. let's read it here in the verse. Let's start here in verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, again, these are the ones that dealt with demons, took upon himself to call over them which had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. I said again, devil likes to take your clothes off. Make you naked. Yeah. Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? See, the devil knows who you are. But do you know who you are? Again, what we've been teaching here last night and tonight, you are king. You are a royal priesthood. You have authority. You have the armor of God. You have the name of Jesus. You know, when Paul was dealing with the what he called the, in Corinthians, the thorn in his flesh. You're familiar with that story?
Yes.
Some people think the thorn in his flesh is something God gave him. No, he said the devil gave him. Yes. Amen. And because of the abundance of revelations he was getting. The devil don't want you to understand the word of God, so he'll come with all kinds of circumstances. Paul was shipwrecks, it was stonings, it was all kind of, he lists all the stuff he went through for the sake of the gospel. Then he finally went to God and said, God, will you do something about this? And what did God say? No, my grace is sufficient for you. I've already done what I can do for you, Paul. I've given you my name. I've given you the armor of God. I've given you saints that are praying for you. Amen? In other words, Paul, you preach it, act like it's true. And evidently, Paul will go back on his word because he lived Paul to be the agent. He didn't go out of here till he was done. Aren't you glad for that?
Yes.
So, you know, we need to know who we are in Christ and the authority that we have. Number two, you must not have any unconfessed sins in your life or unforgiveness in your heart. If you're going to try to deal with the devil and you have unforgiveness and sins, he'll just laugh at you. Are you with me? And you must have number three, you must have a revelation of the power of that name, which we've been talking about here the last couple sessions, who we are, why he's been given the name, how we got it now, and how we can use it. You'll find 130 times in the New Testament the term in his name. In his name. It's all about his name, Jesus. Amen. What a wonderful name.
Yes.
The name. Uh-huh. You hear that song?
Yeah.
There's a couple songs on the radio now about the name of Jesus. They're good. Amen. It's the name above all names. Again, it's not so how loud you use it. It's if you know what it means. You have authority. You don't need to scream it at someone. You just need to exercise it. The devil will know and understand it. You know that you know. And he'll run as in terror. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. One guy said he had a revelation one time where he saw the devil running, knocking over chairs, knocking over, just to get out of the way. Flee. It means to run as in terror. Keep him on the run. You really can't send him to hell yet. It's not that time yet. But you can keep him out of your property, out of your family, out of your job, out of your government, out of, you know, you can do that. And I'll give you, in next session here, this afternoon, I'm going to talk more about the church's responsibility and how we've abdicated that. We have, even the church, when it comes to voting, it's the percentage is disgusting. Christians that vote. At least I heard it's like 35 to 40%. That's pitiful. They don't take any responsibility as citizens. I know years ago I was CNN came to our church and did a thing about Christians voting. And I did some, sat down with a couple of reporters and talked about why I believe Jesus voted. They were like, what? You know, Jesus believed in governments. He believed in, you know, in our system of governments, we have a right to choose our leaders. It's, amen?
That's right.
Actually, God's best system is a king. A righteous king. You're an unrighteous king, you're in trouble. But we're going to get back to that eventually, kingship. You know, all this democracy stuff, it's okay for now, but we're going to get he's going to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's going to rule with an iron rule, a rod of iron, it says. What he says will go.
Absolutely.
No voting then.
For 1,000 years.
1,000 years. Amen. Any comments or questions what we shared about here this morning? I'll stop at this point. Are you learning anything, or are you just be rehashing some things you already know? Hey, I don't mind if you don't have questions. It means you were listening. One time I was preaching, I said, why don't you say amen? People said, we're eating. We weren't allowed to talk at the table, they said. I said, okay, you got me on that one. We have my church where I pastor was, actually it's mostly Black and Hispanics now, and they're very vocal. So I'm used to, amen, preach it, brother, shout. But that's okay, as long as you're eating. Sometimes the people that shout the loudest aren't getting anything, aren't listening. You know, it's an art to listening. I did a series on that years ago, how to listen. Even when we talk to people, many times we're not listening, we're already thinking about how we're going to respond back to that person rather than hearing what they're saying. And it comes the same way with hearing from God. Much of our prayers is talking rather than listening to what God has to say. And He'll speak. We don't serve a dumb idol. He does speak.
Yes.
That still small voice is it's hard for some people to hear. But and it's a whole other subject.